This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Expats, just expats, not the expats, not the expatriates.
Nope, expats.
I know, I just don't know why it doesn't, it looks fine, but when I say it, I don't know. I want to say other things around it for some reason. More syllables, I don't know.
Well, we're going to say a lot of other things around it, but just not the title. We cannot add words.
That's right. That it is what it is. It's on Amazon Prime. I struggled for like a blip in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't so sure in the middle. By the end, I was like, this show is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so glad that you also struggled before you got there.
Yeah.
Because I did too. But I don't even know what it was necessarily. I know your struggle from in the first episode, which we talked about. But then I just thought there were times where, I don't know, it got a little slow or whatever. But by the end, and then looking back in order to discuss for this, I'm like, this was so good.
And so good.
Well done. And the acting and the arcs for each of them.
Yeah.
And then the themes in the end. I'm like, Jesus, this was really incredible.
Way everything came together.
Yes.
And had it come together in some sort of twist at the end, you would have been like, that's ridiculous. But because they told us right from the start that these three women's lives were truly intertwined, I think then as you got to see how deep it was and how much it progressed, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
In a good way. Yes. I was thinking that it's like, what is it? I thought it's like, at times I would describe it as like devastating. Like there are some really devastating things that happen to each one of these people, either in the present or you hear about happened to them in the past.
Yep.
And yet by the end, you know, Lulu Wang talks about it's a story of resilience and dealing with pain. And so there's hope.
Yeah.
And yet it's not a cheesy, hopeful, people get happy
no
endings.
Ray of sunshine, no.
Right?
No,
and
no.
Yet there is something to me very hopeful about resilience and about being able to deal with these things and keep going.
But
without, again, without it being like, oh, look, and now they all know how to deal with pain and la, la, la.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, no.
So it's just does that so well to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I felt as hopeful, but I do understand what you're saying. I mean, to me, it was a little, maybe just the time of the year is February. It's like the slog to spring, but spring is coming, but it's still deep in that slog. Yeah. I was just like, it's one foot in front of the other. That's life. But man, that's depressing.
I know.
It's all you can do is kind of the way they say at the finale, like take the pain in, let it become part of who you are. And maybe there are glimpses where you don't see it. And that's like the best you can hope for. I thought it was true. Yeah. And I do think resilience is the clear message, but the hope was a little bit too far away for me. But
I know. But
that's okay by me.
Yes. Yeah.
That's okay by me. I don't need hope at the end. But
that's why I said there's just some somehow resilience to me built in is a little bit of hope. But
I get it. I get it.
I totally see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
It was heavy. It was heavy. I think for me, the way I struggled in the middle was just in the building of the dimensions of these characters. I thought, and rightfully so, that's how you build a character. You build them out and you give them more dimension. But at times I was like, this is so one-dimensional, it's so flat, it's so cliched, this is not anything revelatory or that interesting. And then they just kept building and building and building and building. And I was like, oh boy, this is so good. So good. Yeah.
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 Oh man.
For me, I don't know where you want to start or how we want to approach this, but I thought Saraya Blue, the actress who plays...
I think it's Sari.
Okay.
Yeah, I did look that up.
Who plays...
incredible.
Hillary. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
She was amazing. And I really do give it to the actress because what was written, sometimes it could have gone a very different way.
Yes.
It really could have. Right. Like I said, she was one-dimensional in some ways, played into stereotypes and cliches in other ways. But I, when I was watching it, I felt nothing but humanity and dimension and complication and layers and depth to this character. I thought the standout, like the standout of the show, easy. But I think like the standout of like, I don't know, TV in 2024, yes. maybe, right?
Yes. I completely agree. And that's what so many people are talking about too. And Lulu Wang said this, like, she's just so happy that this woman's been a working actor for quite some time, has had a career.
Yeah.
But never got to be. I've seen her.
Never have I ever. I've seen her in so many things. Yeah.
And same with Brian Lee, who's cast as her husband, Nicole Kidman's husband. And they're going toe-to-toe with Nicole Kidman. Okay, which is like, hello.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stealing the show, which is in a way, which, you know, and that's what, you know, I did not know this because I did not read the book, that both her character, Hillary, and Clark
are white. Yes.
So Lulu Wang purposely made this diversion from it. Yeah. And in doing so, has given these actors who, as we've said, have had working careers, but never been given the chance. And I think she said this. She's like, I'm so pissed that like we've had to wait this long to let the world see what she can do, but listen, now they do, and I agree. I thought she was incredible.
I think those the changes to add in the cultural elements that we got to see her mother, how family plays in, how tradition in her life, expectations. I thought that was absolutely brilliant because honestly, as a white woman, this is cliched to the point that I think is almost damaging, right? Because the stereotype, the older stereotype, I hope it's not the standing stereotype, of a woman who doesn't want children is that she is selfish and self-absorbed and like can't see past herself. And Hillary is that character.
Yeah.
So as a white woman who doesn't have all of this background and this texture to her, that I think it's a damaging character in a way, and she doesn't let it like lie that way. So I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Right. And yet there was also things about her that were so universal for anyone. I mean, so much of what she's, her like drive and perfectionism made me think of the Pam Perfect that we talked about in Brave Young Woman, and how I have that, and I'm sure that is kind of trauma behavior. Like we do know for her. I mean, she did suffer very traumatic experiences in her upbringing. Yeah. And again, these societal expectations or family expectations. But how she reacts, I thought was so relatable, at least for me, which is she then tried to make herself look perfect, achieve the success. All of that was also just a universal message she's so good.
It was. And that scene at the end with the father, holy shit.
I mean
first of all, you think she's been consistent and said to her mother, I can't lie, I won't lie. The first things come out of her mouth are lies. Yes. She's pregnant, it's a boy. What? So you can just see that something else has taken over her. And what it is not is preservation or, you know, like a protection of her father. It is the opposite. It is she will wield the truth. She will wield lies. She will wield whatever she has to do to hurt him. Yeah. Ooh, I mean, that was so visceral. And the way it all came out, just the acting in the moment, it was incredible.
And then
I thought
the
it was
after
incredible.
Effects, how she really, because like to your point, she was visceral. And then when her brain and logic and oh my God, what did I just do kicks in.
Yeah.
It's the hysteria and the I killed him. And,
yeah, right. When she gets back home, some time has passed and she finally is in some, like, safe enough to break down and say. And it's not David. Maybe it's Hong Kong or maybe it's, like, you know, whatever it is. But, yeah, she just breaks down and is like, oh, my God, I killed him.
Yeah, like, what did I do? Like, she does describe it as kind of being out of body.
Yeah. And then she just, but then she goes back on that. She's like, no, I was in complete control. I knew exactly what I was doing. I wanted to hurt him. It was incredible. It was incredible. So good. Yeah.
Hillary. That was absolutely the standout.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in that moment in the car with David, when you're not sure, this is like, I guess this is, if there is a ray of hope, and I didn't see it then, but now in this conversation, it's that change is small. It is always almost imperceptible, because there was a moment in the car when he's talking about Mercy having his baby. And I'm like, Hillary is becoming her mother. Like, her husband will have another family. She's going to turn this blind eye. But then you realize they're not together. Well, we know they're divorced, but even they don't even comfort each other. Like, they get out of the car and they're done. They go their separate ways. So you're like, okay, that's her little bit.
Making a different choice.
Yeah, making a different choice. And even though a lot of it looks the same, it's going to get somewhere else. Like, and maybe you're like, this is like five generations later, it's going to get somewhere else. But she's doing what she can in this life, in this moment, with the choices she has. So,
and I just feel like, see, for her character, that's where I see the most hope, the way you've just described.
Yeah.
And then the final scene with her in the rug walking through that, to me, oh my God, I literally, as someone who's going through something similar, was literally like, when do I get my rug moment? Right? Because for her, she's been created this neutral, perfect palette in her home, in her attire, you know, all her beautiful jumpsuits that we loved.
Yes.
Her costume designer is fantastic, but it is all very neutral palette. And then she looks around and there's just this, where is the color? Which is just a bigger metaphor for just like, where's the color in my life? And getting a little messy and a little, you know, just a little bit of change and doing something that's going to bring her just like a little bit of joy, which is a colorful rug. We're going to start.
Yeah. Except that is absolutely 100% true. And I picked up on her attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, she goes herself.
Yeah,
and she takes the heavy thing. I mean, she doesn't even make herself an egg, let alone go somewhere.
Good point.
And get
carry
a
rug.
Right. And they're like, it's heavy. She's like, I got it. And and also, as she's walking, we have seen Hillary over and over and over just be disgusted at everyone else. Everyone else is doing something wrong, is in her way, is not doing their part properly. And here she is walking on the street. Excuse me. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Coming through. Like, she is cheerful. She is taking like full agency, ownership of who she is. And she's like, I know I had this awkward and weird rug, but I'm going to do it anyway because that's what, like, it's important to me. But also I'm going to be mindful of the people around me and not blame them for being in my way. I feel like that scene in episode 3, she's like, oh, does anyone know how to walk? You know, like, does anyone realize I'm here carrying this thing? Always like playing the victim in an aggressive way, not in a whiny, you know, like, oh, poor me way, but in a in an aggressive way. But it's still playing the victim because everyone else is doing something wrong. And at the end, she's fully in herself. And that's what I saw and loved it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's her whole body language.
And oh, my gosh.
Embodying this.
Yeah. And I didn't go back and look, but I feel like there was even like a spotlight of sunshine just like following her, and maybe that was in
like
my head.
It.
But
it's in my head too. So it just happened or not, I love that ending for her. That final scene.
Same
the rug moment.
Yeah, love it. Now on to my most relatable character, unless you want to talk more about Hillary, and I'm sure we can just weave stuff in as we go along. Margaret.
She's my most relatable, but I knew Margaret would be yours.
Oh, Margaret. Look, I know that Hillary and Clark were as dynamic and as as prominent and as clearly as talented as Nicole Kidman, but she was phenomenal in this. Yes. I really, and it felt like she was holding back, not in a way of like, let other people shine, or maybe it was that too, but it was also like holding back for her character, because her character is so stuck and held back for herself. I just thought it was really brilliantly played. And I also, at times, it was completely over the top and almost foolish. And then other times, it was so understated. But that is, I can imagine, the true emotional journey of someone who has lost a child a year ago and is at the real reckoning point that her family has to leave. They have to leave. And yet, she cannot. Boy.
Yeah. There's a manicness to it, which I think is true to life, right? Like you said, like she could be but frenetic, but then
opposite. Yeah, but it is I think the manicness is maybe part of her personality. The restraint and the truth and the clarity is where she is, which is that there are multiple things going on here and we're not gonna have one happy resolution, and that's okay. I'm not going to force them to stay, and I'm not going to force myself to leave. This is just where we are right now. I thought it was fantastic. The scene you want to talk about, the scene where they go to identify Gus's body.
Oh, the morgue episode 4. Oh, was boy. I mean, I read an interview with Brian Lee and Nicole Kidman, who said that when Lulu Wong told them, we're going to do an entire episode in the morgue, they were like, really? Really? Like, we're never going to leave the morgue? Like, the whole whole episode? Yeah. But, and they also said, though, for them, they thought as the couple that this is the episode for their relationship. Oh, yes. And with the, where they're finally talking, where they take turns breaking down. I mean, by the end, he's the hysterical one, but in the beginning, she is. But it's the talking, finally, about what happened.
Yeah. And I think what was preventing the talking before was the knowledge. Each of them had the knowledge that they wanted different things. And to say it would, like, speak it into existence, and they didn't know how to deal with that, like, that he wants to leave. He, frankly, in this moment of time, wants Gus dead so that he can be done with it, and she wants to stay, and she wants Gus alive.
That they are being clear about where they are, each of them at this point, which is very different places. But I think, sorry, you were going to say.
It's tough. No, it's just tough.
No, it is. But I also think she finally gets to say, you know, she says, like, what kind of mother loses her child?
And takes him
right in the beginning. And she's just like, starts admitting her own guilt, her own, what she believes, of course, like any mother would want to take responsibility for that.
And
then he immediately tries to take it back from her. Like, no, you didn't lose him.
Someone took them. And then he puts the blame on himself.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, white kids are too much trouble. And, like, this happened because Gus looked like me. And so they're each trying to, like, take on the blame as a way to take it off the other and console each other. But, like, you know, they're both, you know, this is what you would do. You would turn inward. You would blame yourself. And I think the father here is now doing that just as much as she is.
I think that is the what comes pouring out after they're honest about how far apart they are. Yeah. That is their way of bringing them a little bit closer to each other you know, to share that blame in that way instead of blaming each other and making the distance more and farther and harder, what they do is pull each other in with other the, in. No, I'm to blame. I'm to blame. I'm to blame.
Exactly.
Boy, yeah. That was amazing.
But, and then, you know, he says, you know, are we being punished? And, you know, we had it all. And, you know, he said that he's been going to church, which he had seen a pamphlet or whatever. But this is also where he, you know, comes clean about that. And we learn that, you know, they didn't previously have any religion in their house. And she said, you didn't even believe in God. And so for her, this is like, she says, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah. Well, and then she talks about it in episode 5. It's a traumatic part of her childhood religion.
Yes.
And so,
which we didn't know then.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think it's more just this is not you. Like it would be, you know, if someone you loved and had been in a relationship forever suddenly just says they believe in God, it's a pretty fundamental thing to change on. But
I think that it feels like a betrayal, though, is from her stance on it.
Right. Yeah. Which, again, we didn't know then, but does make sense. And I think at first she's just like, what is going on here? But it makes sense to me. I mean, he's like, I needed some place. Even on that, he knows. He's just explaining, like, I get it. Like, he's not defending himself. It's just I don't know. I needed somewhere to go. I needed somewhere to turn. Like, I don't know what to do. I am lost. Yeah. And that seems to give me some comfort. Like, which, you know, we then see.
I think that's pretty normal in the in reality, right? People suffer a terrible loss and grief can turn to religion. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, then it feels like less of a betrayal, I think, to me then, even after I found out that he's sort of admitting, like, I know this is not who we were or what I said. And I know you have this history, but like, it's the only thing giving me some solace right now. And I just feel like all of this in the morgue, like you said, is them coming together. And at least, even if they don't fully get on the same page on things, they're now, it's more of a connector than a divider.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to get on the same page, not anytime soon, but as long as they are talking and communicating and not afraid of their differences, because to be afraid of them is to say, like, this will beat us. And to not be afraid of them is to say, we can beat this together.
Which is why I think then in the end, when she makes the decision in the airport to stay at the last minute, he gets it. Like, because of this episode and these conversations they've had, Clark just, he understands. You know,
I think so too.
But, you know, she said in that episode that the minute our feet leave Hong Kong, we're abandoning our son in a foreign place. I won't do it ever.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
But she convinced herself there, I guess, for until that moment.
No, I think she knew her family needed to go. Yes, I mean, she was really clear that they needed to leave. And so she was like, okay, we're leaving. And then the we in that moment separated out. And she's like, okay, you need to go, but I actually need to stay. So let's everybody do what they need to do.
Right.
Yeah. Oof. It was devastating, though. I thought, brilliant, such a small piece, but it had been consistent throughout. Daisy's reaction, you're the worst mother in the world. I hate you. And then Philip hugs her and says, I love you. I mean, I think that's rough. True to life. All right. The fact is, she thinks she's staying to be a good mother to Gus, but also her staying is making her be an absent mother, a neglectful mother to Daisy. It's both are true.
Yeah, both are true. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of views on this ending and, you know, how, you know, but it goes with the whole thing. How could a mother do that? Well, that's sort of a, you know, the motherhood piece runs throughout, obviously, all the characters and storylines. But I think you're right. To me, it felt right for the character, for the story, that this is what she had to do for all her children, like you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. And I haven't read any reviews, but to think the moment I had where I was like, how could a mother do this, even though I understood it, was the pictures. That's when you're like, she is damaging these children, actively damaging these children on top of the trauma they already have. And I get it. I get it from her point of view. It made complete sense. I probably would have done every single thing Margaret does in this show, every single thing, including those pictures. And then you go, this is so fucked up. This is not right. And so I don't, you're right, that I think it is the best for everyone. There needs to be more time. She needs to be away from them and not constantly in this state of panic that she's going to lose somebody else, some another child.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, which is what is driving all them. That.
You're saying a little... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that people are talking about with the ending, though, is that there the lack of quote-unquote resolution about what happened to Gus. But that is consistent with the book, I understand. And Janice Y.K. Lee wrote this last episode of the series. But to me, I mean, I had no issue. I actually, again, I felt like the right ending. It felt like true to life. It felt like this is, we don't get answers all the time.
Yeah. I think it felt like a good pause because you could not have wrapped it up in one season, right? Yeah. Or at least that's not where the story was ever really going. I think you can have a season where you find the kid is either alive or you find out that he's dead or whatever the fate is. But that had to have been going there from episode one, and it wasn't.
Exactly. That's not where this was going.
To give us a resolution would feel so cheated. Now, I hope that there's more. I hope that there's another season and that that it's more about that pause in this period of time, like where everyone's kind of in between, and then we can move towards resolution. But
it's a different show, right? That would have been a different story.
Yeah.
That's why to me, this felt
or a different season. Ending. I mean, it could be the same show, but a different season.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Which, of course, people have asked her about that too. And, you know,
you
get the standard answers, which are like, I had no present intention to do a second season. I wrote a beginning, middle, and end. Like, this is the story. But, like, I think you have to say that. Like, you're not, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, she said, like, kind of like, never say never. But I don't, like, you know, whereas I do think some people, we've had all creators say, I've written three more seasons. I hope
Yellow Jackets.
Like,
right.
They were like, I've got three written already or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's definitely not that camp. But I also think this was a big undertaking. I mean, you know, it was like she said, like six feature films, you know, and she's directed feature films. So I also just think maybe she needs a pause, which is like, okay. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot before she could even think about it. But yes, you could certainly see from a story perspective how it could keep going. So what about Mercy?
Oh, boy.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy. Oh, my God.
Now, Mercy does some not good things, right? Yeah. She often, I don't know, I guess they're all act, I mean, literally everyone in the world acts out of self, like, you know, what we want to do, right? Selfishness.
Like self-motivated.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
self-interested.
Self-interested, yeah.
Yeah.
But I found Hillary to be the most selfish, like on some objective scale. Mm-hmm. And Mercy, and then I found Nicole Kidman in her situation and her current predicament to be the least. But because she was seemingly torn between always acting for someone else and then whether it's Gus or whether it's her family that she has now or even Essie. I mean, we can talk about that, but Mercy, I just was never really sure. I couldn't pinpoint it. And I guess there is something to do with like age for me that she hasn't figured out who she is. There seems to be selfishness when you don't know who you are doesn't register as much with me, I think.
I think
Hillary maybe wants to be someone different or doesn't or wants something different for her life, but she knows who she is. And when she acts out of her own self-interest, it feels like, oh, like painful to me. But here, because it seems so myopic, here I'm like, she's just lost. She's just, Mercy doesn't know what the hell she's doing. And I don't think it made her likable, if that matters, but it somehow feels different to me than Hillary.
It's so interesting because you said Hillary, you thought was, until her growth at the end, was a little bit of a victim, or like things are happening to me or whatever. Whereas, and I, of course, felt that very strongly with Mercy, but
yeah,
mostly because of this, they keep telling us about this curse.
Yes.
And that scene with Charlie,
yeah,
where she's like basically lays into her, is what I was want. I was so happy when she said that, because
yes,
that agree. Drove me yeah. crazy that she
yes.
kept
right. She
that.
Is the she is the more typical victim. She right. is passive. She acts like everything is happening to her. Hillary right. didn't act like anything was happening to her, but she blamed everyone else for everything right. that was happening to her.
Right, right, right. Whereas, but so does Mercy, really. But she blames
yeah.
the curse, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, I yeah. think Mercy is the quintessential victim. Right. I think Hillary right. is a victim in wolf's clothing,
yeah.
right? She seems so yeah. aggressive and angry and lashing, but really she's always playing the victim.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Mercy, I guess, like, you know, you talk about her youth, but I guess also if you've been told this, you're young and you've been yeah. told this your
sure.
whole life. I
sure.
mean, there is, she has absorbed this.
Yeah.
So we know why she feels that way. And it was, you know, she was told over and over, like, you're cursed. Like
yeah.
you will. So whenever something bad happens, it's, see, nothing good is ever going to happen to me. Like, so this isn't my fault or whatever. So I do think the curse element for her and her age, as you're saying,
yeah.
is puts hers in a sort of a different light, but similar.
Yeah.
But that makes it hard. That's why when she yells at her, I was like, yes. Give it to her.
Yes, Charlie, absolutely. Like, you have no idea your privilege. Like,
yeah.
It's shocking.
Yes, you have yeah. an American degree. You have an American,
yeah, American passport.
You can go. And this is, I mean, in the middle of this political unrest, which we can
yeah.
talk about too. I mean,
yeah.
Charlie's like fighting for, like, you know, democracy and
yes.
the freedoms that she just has.
Yeah.
Like, you just have those. And then what, you're going to cry to me about, like, so now you're knocked up by your rich white boyfriend who, I'm pretty sure, either in the scene right before or scene after, I mean, Charlie doesn't know this, but we know him. He's willing to write her checks,
sure.
to go to the best. Like,
sure.
So she's like, you know, and
yeah.
what about his wife? Is she part of your curse?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Like, and that was, you know, I think a big moment for Mercy.
Yeah.
A wake up call.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit.
I think I think I saw it more with her mother.
Yes, but that's
oh,
what I think
boy.
We needed to get to
yeah.
that then. That was the big one.
Yeah. yeah, you're right. She needed the tough love before she
yeah.
had the ice queen melt a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Her mother just be like
the
hug
moms
her.
In this show, Corinne.
Yeah,
I mean, you and
harsh,
I like to talk about
harsh.
Our harsh mothers.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah.
Hillary's mom, when she's trapped in that elevator,
yeah.
and then her
that's
mom?
When it felt a little oh. one-dimensional. You're like, okay,
yeah,
this is every was... cliche there is.
Yeah, I know. But then
but
by
it was
the
building.
End,
right, it was building.
Yeah,
it needed
yeah.
those layers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I understood
jeez,
that.
The mommy issues in here for these people.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt them.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
But yes, but then Mercy, you know, she had seemingly like shut her mom out too. Like, you know, we've seen in prior episodes, like her mom's like, you never call me, you know,
yeah.
you know whatever.
Yeah.
And so her mom shows up. She didn't tell her she was pregnant. So, I mean, her mom is, you know, rightfully so, a little like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then wants to take care of her and is asking some, you know, what Mercy, I think, thinks is a little like, all right. But, I mean, they're legit questions. Like,
yeah.
how are you going to live? How are you going to take care of yourself? These are things that are, you know, a mother would ask.
Practical necessities.
Yes. Yes. And then
yes.
assumes, I'll just take care of you. You'll come mm-hmm. home and I'll take care of you. But the breakdown she has with her, where they're just holding each other
yeah.
and crying.
Oh,
it's like Mercy.
Yeah.
yeah.
That
she's
hug
young.
Was so perfect.
Yeah.
The mother just holding the space and she can't do it. She's not the kind of mother who would just come in and rub your back and rub your hair. And she's like, hug, you know, and it's hard, and you know it's hard for her too. And
yeah.
then Mercy finally like leans in, but she doesn't hug her back really. She just kind of leans into the hug. And then finally the third
yeah.
piece of it is that she brings her hands up and she hugs her mother back and
yeah.
she cries. And oh, It was so good.
Like really sobs. Like it's just a release.
Breaks down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Oh,
and
yeah.
yeah. But I mean, and then the way you talked about how they are all intertwined. So then in
God.
the end, when you are seeing in that finale, each
So
one of them
good.
talking into the camera and you don't know who's talking to who. I read a, you know, an article with Lulu and the director of photography talked about that, and they had different ideas and whatever. And then somehow, I think it was the director of photography came up with it. Like, what if we just like zoom in
Yeah.
and we don't know who's speaking to who? And in that way, it's also somewhat universal. Like a
Yeah.
lot of the things they're saying, they're talking to you, they're talking to me, but they're also talking to each other. And you
Yeah.
sort of know who maybe they're talking to, but it also
Yeah,
doesn't
but
matter.
it doesn't. I
It's
completely agree
incredible.
because it could have there, and there were so many sentences. Like it would go from
Yeah.
one sentence that was
Yes.
clearly like mercy to Margaret,
Margaret.
like, should you take my baby? But then there
Yeah.
was clearly like mercy would only it would only apply to Hillary. So
Yeah.
I loved that
Brilliant.
blending, that mashing, because they were so enmeshed. And
Yes.
yeah, I just thought it worked
What a
really
way
well.
to show that. Show the
Yeah.
way they're entangled, but
Yeah.
also somehow be speaking universally
Yeah.
to the audience. Just
Yeah.
that was
So good.
incredible.
So
Yeah.
good. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you at any point think that Mercy would offer her baby? I thought to Hillary. Not to because, or that maybe Hillary and David would take the baby
Yeah.
earlier on. I mean, like when it first, by the end, I didn't think that was going to happen. And I also didn't think she was going to give the baby to Margaret. I know she said that in their discussion, but I think it was more
Yeah.
like, I feel like I owe you something,
Yeah. Yeah.
not like
Yeah.
literally, would you like to take my baby?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Did that, I just was like, oh, maybe before I
No, I
realized
def
Hillary and David were done,
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I was definitely more focused on the Margaret piece and how that would like be some sort of karmic
Yeah.
writing or weighing of the scales kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I don't know. I wonder if Margaret had said yes, would Mercy I don't know, Mercy might have actually given her the baby. But
Yeah.
Margaret knows it's not one
That's
for
not
one.
the,
She has two other
no.
kids.
Yeah, that's not the answer.
It's
Yeah, for her.
not. It's not. And Margaret, I think, knew that from the start. But yeah,
Well,
so I was more
if
focused on that.
And Margaret in her final scene, we talked about Hillary's walking with the rug. Now Margaret walking, you know, through the city.
Yeah.
What if you had your crystal ball? I mean, what do you think? How long is Margaret staying there? What do you think?
Yeah, it's she'll stay as long as it takes to feel like she's lost her family, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Daisy,
Yeah.
Philip, Clark.
That makes sense.
And then when she feels like she has truly lost them, whatever that means for her, then at least she can go back and actually be reunited with them, which is a fate she may never get for Gus, probably won't ever get for with
Right.
Gus.
Right.
So I
Okay.
think
That
when
makes
that
sense.
hole becomes something that she needs to fill, because now
Yeah.
it's not. It's almost it's a hole filler right now.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I like
Yeah,
that.
but I mean I thought that was very right as a
Yeah.
resolution. I mean,
Yeah.
I could
What
not
about,
have stepped on that plane.
okay, so sticking with that plane scene, because the other person who understands her and says, I understand what you're doing is Essie.
Yeah, poor Essie.
Poor Essie. So
Yeah.
speaking of leaving your family, and she had the hope of being reunited with her own family when they were going to go to America. She calls them. They're so happy. We
Yeah.
see her family, like she's coming home. And then Margaret offers her the job. Please come with us. And we don't know until the end that she
Right.
decides to come. Did you think Essie was going to go? How is she leaving her family for
Query
longer?
if I ever believed that that call home was genuine. I don't think
Oh.
it was. I think she overheard them. She
Right. Yep.
thought, this is my fate, and I have to be done with this family now. They don't want me. They don't need me. Because this is also before she has expressed to Puri, She doesn't know what she did wrong. And she, why did Margaret not bring her? Yeah. And what did she do? And she feels responsible. Mm-hmm. So she thinks that conversation that she overhears is the confirmation that she's been looking for, is that she is out. She is wrong. Yeah. She is out. She's done.
And that maybe and, she deserves that because, of, yeah, you know, yeah.
Right. And then she calls home and I don't think she wanted to go home. I mean, I know that that's complicated, but
yeah, it is.
I don't. So I think she called home in an effort to not feel so low from what she had overheard and thinking like, this is it. And I mean, I'm sure it's complicated.
I'm sure
part of her wanted to go home, but I don't know. I didn't find that to be as genuine, the way it all played out. I didn't feel it to be as genuine as her decision to stay, which is also complicated and fraught. And she is an employee. Yes. She's not like part of the family. And I get it. She may not have felt there was a choice. But I think if the choice is going home to retire or working, I think she would have chosen working 10 times out of, for whatever reasons. Maybe she thinks her son says we don't need any more money, but she does. Yeah. She thinks it.
And I do think she feels, as she said to Pori, and we can see a real attachment to them. And as her own. And so it is complicated. And she does see how much they need her, given what that family is going through. And it's just, it's very complicated.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that moment at the airport is one where she feels vindicated and passed back that mother baton. She is essentially going to be their mother.
She's going to be.
Margaret is staying. And Margaret, like, she needs the confirmation from Clark. Daisy says, I hate you. Philip says, I love you. And her she's like, Essie, you go be me. And
I think, I got this.
Yes, I understand. I understand. Maybe part of Essie's like, good, go find our boy. Because she feels a loss.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I,
I mean, the storylines with the helpers and Essie and Pori, I thought all were so well done.
Yeah, but the contrast between Essie and Pori is, and Hillary and Margaret is...
Yeah.
Very stark. I mean, I wanted to murder Hillary, really. That whole night when she just made Pori her doll and objectified her, not sexually, but just simply, like, you are my object and I will play with you. Mm-hmm. And all in the name of helping her for this audition that in the morning she didn't, I was so angry. She didn't even acknowledge and Pori didn't go. I was devastated. Devastated.
But while she was doing it, this is why I do think it was complicated.
I thought
it was messed up, like you're saying, but also I know that for Hillary, she believes some of this, like that I'm helping you and all the stuff, like words of affirmation she says to her to like lift her up. You know, it's a little Oprah, as her mother would say, Oprah speak.
I don't speak Oprah.
But Hillary does to Pori a lot, like, you know, your worth is it, you know, and I think she believes that and putting on the makeup and giving her the dress, like, there's part of you that's like, it's like, you're saying is she like dressing her up like a doll?
I would have bought that 100% if in the morning.
Oh yeah, no, then
she told
the morning
Pori
kills
to go.
It. Oh yeah, no, then the morning.
Oh, I agree.
Disgusting.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
But at first, but even while it was happening, before it was disgusting, even still, part of me was like, oh, this is a little messed up. Like, because you know Hillary's then gonna do, like, she's not her friend, right? Which is what her friends, Pori's friends, told her. Like, she's really not your friend.
Yeah,
but. But she's not your friend. Oh my God. Yeah. And by the way, Katy Perry Roar is one of my theme songs, as one of my original theme songs. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that episode opened with them singing it and then Pori singing it throughout, I was like, oh my God, that's my theme song.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an interesting dynamic. Between
I thought it was devastating.
Hillary. But then with the, then the next morning it was gross.
It was
absolutely gross.
It was
like,
yeah.
Make my egg and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shut the window. It's so bright, but not too much. Oh,
I know.
Oh, it was terrible.
I was like, oh, this is so gross now.
Yeah.
And I felt for Pori. I mean,
I know. I know. But maybe that was the wake up call Pori needed, right?
Yeah.
Which is, she isn't your friend. She is filling your head with with things that maybe are hurting you and that maybe, you know, if you're going to achieve whatever you want to achieve, it's not going to be because of her. And so find it on your own kind of
thing. Find it on your own.
Oof. Yeah, that was rough. I really wanted to murder Hillary that next morning. I was like, oh, you are a horrible person.
Yeah, that was not her finest moment. What else?
I don't know. That's maybe
There's a lot of ink spilled about the political movement and all that. I don't, you know, I only know what I've read on the internet, so I don't know the whole history of that. Although I do know that this, you know, is not playing in Hong Kong. You cannot watch this in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, that's why, you know, the joke is this is a show about Hong Kong and it's the one place you can't watch the show due to censorship issues. So unfortunately that's not playing there, but.
A lot of, I mean, I early on I saw when I was trying to assess to keep going or not, I saw a lot of the criticisms around that. I also saw how, you know, the expatriates, they're so spoiled. They're so, I mean, it's true. I don't know. I didn't, I wasn't like, oh God. It was because of the way these three women's lives intersected, like a freaking freight train, slow at first and then inexorably to their death in some way, that I was able to, anything that felt cliched or we've seen plenty of wealthy people behaving badly and do we really need to see any more of this? Any of that was really set aside because it just, it felt incredibly fresh and original and like nothing I'd ever seen before. So all the other criticisms, I'm not saying they're not true. Just saying in the end, they didn't matter to me at all.
Right, exactly. Because that's not what I'm watching it for or interested in. That's not what spoke to me. So.
Yeah, and I just think what was fresh and new and the takes that were something we hadn't seen before were more vital than the things to throw away. It's like the good far outweighed the bad. So I, even if I would have liked it to be something else, or that is what I was watching it for, I thought the good, the new perspectives really overshadowed the negative ones.
Oh, it was good.
It was really good. Really good. I really hope they get another season.
Yeah, I would, so we're going to monitor
watch it
that.
In a heartbeat. Yeah. I have learned, I will say this, I have learned that apparently, I mean, I don't know why, I live under a rock, but people, I wonder if the Gus being missing or dead, that it was kind of hidden, the ball was hidden, because there are some people that just won't watch something or read something where a child is missing. And so you kind of have to trick them into it and have that be part of a reveal, because it will be something that just from the outset they won't even look at, regardless of whether they're merit. So I wonder if that was part of it, that you had to know that they were going through a grief, a period of grief and a period of struggle, but you didn't know what it was.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Right. I think so.
I didn't think of that, but because that wouldn't be a thing for me, but I can see how.
It's
heard
funny.
Grief and I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's a show about grief and resilience. I'm like, woo.
I want to say I don't get it, but what I don't, it's not true, because I do get it. Because frankly, if you tell me there's something with a missing child, I want to read it. So it's just it's the same bias.
Interesting.
Mine just happens to be in favor and everyone else is against, but I have a bias and I just won't ever get tired of knowing, what do you do? Like, what do you do? How do you feel?
How do you react?
How do you go on? How do you go on every day? And I will never get tired of the stories. So I will read them. If you tell me there's a missing kid, I'm like, sign me up.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. What if I'm neutral? This surprises no one probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think you probably are.
Like, it's not a turn off. It's not a fascination either. But the way you describe it, that
does speak to me, which is like, how do you go on? How do you deal? But it doesn't have to be with a missing child. I sort of love like that about any kind of tragedy or pain, like the people dealing with it and how do they cope and the choices they make.
Right. Like that you I said, love. Right. And it is tied to grief.
Right.
Universally. And I think that's why this is like grief on steroids to me, because it's also grief plus suspense, right? Yeah. It is, you have to grieve that the child is missing and gone. And in some ways, there's a real actual loss. But at the same time, you can hold on to hope and you can take action.
Mystery.
And and will the kid come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grief plus suspense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All not right. so much everyone else, but who knows? Well, hey. I thought this was fantastic.
Yes.
Everyone hit it out of the park. I really, no one slept on this show, not from the writing, the directing, the acting. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
And I saw an interview with the male actors, with Brian Lee and with the guy who played David, and they were just raving about how this is just all women.
Yeah.
Everywhere, carrying the show, writing the show based on a book by a woman.
Yeah.
As I said in the first episode, Yay. It's an all women writers room, but they were like, and they were naming like director of photography, all other people that I don't even know. And the point was like, see what happens, guys.
When you put
this
whole team of women in the driver's seat, not just like a woman. You
That's
know
what he said. He's like, you create excellence and a nuanced, like incredible show. And they're like, we need more of this. And we
by the
were
way,
just happy to support and be there. I mean, it was great.
Dave, that actor who played David was phenomenal. We didn't get into all that.
Be a good guy, David.
Oh boy, he was. I just thought he brought so much vulnerability and humanity to a character that you should have hated every single step of the way.
Right.
And I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a celebrated actor. Like, it's not, still. He's not going unmentioned, but it was worth throwing in at the end that I just thought he really killed it, knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Expats. Right.
More, please.
Yes. Thank you. All right.